Hello, friends, and welcome to Ghosts to Show You. We don't have a new episode for you this week, so we thought it would be fun and relevant to share this episode of my other podcast with you, in which me, Lillian, and my first husband, LP, watched the 1990 classic film Ghost. Also, while I have you, please give us 5 stars on iTunes if you have a minute. We'd appreciate it. We'll be back with a brand new episode for you in 2 weeks, but for now, please enjoy me, Lillian, and Jamie watching Ghost.
I'm not talking in a radio voice.
Well, would you like to start the episode off, Jay?
I thought I already did. We already started.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
So how would you like? So start saying something funny.
It's fucking rough out here.
Listener, let's get right to the heart of the issue. This is the Panducto Quarantcast, and I'm Emily, and this is my husband, Jamily.
They'll respond to that name, but no, yeah, sure, I'm Jamie Lee, that's all good.
And today we have a very special guest, my dear friend and other podcast host for our podcast, Ghosts to Show You, rolls off the tongue, Lillian Devane.
Oh, hi.
Yay. Yay.
That's an honor to be here.
It is.
Yeah, really for all of you.
It is for you. It is an honor for
you. You are honored. You are.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Lillian's never listened to our podcast.
It's true. I'm coming in here kind of... I planned it that way, though, so yeah. I could be fresh and kind of...
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, that's good.
You didn't want to be influenced by past podcasts.
No, I didn't read any of the press. I didn't read any of the write-ups and the profiles.
That's
I just want to come
of
into
which
it.
There were many.
Yes, I wanted to come clean, so I'm a blank slate for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to fill that blankness. We're going to fill it up with Ghost. Which is a movie that we decided would just be a good thing. Because Emily's never seen this movie. Now, I'm not really recommending this movie. Like, this is a classic. You have to see this movie. But it kind of is a classic in a weird way, isn't it? It is a classic.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but it seems like it is. Like, it seems like a cultural touchstone.
I mean, I wouldn't put it in my top 20, but it was definitely a big fucking movie.
When this shit came out,
it blew up. And I liked it when I saw it. For sure.
In the theater?
Yeah.
What year are we talking?
90.
Good year. Good year.
I think I saw it in the theater. I don't know. I don't remember. Shit, 90. So how old was I?
15.
15. Maybe I didn't see it in the theater. Yeah.
15-year-old boy being like,
I gotta see Ghost.
Yeah. But you know what, though? To be fair... They kind of marketed it in like two ways. Mm. One was like they marketed it like a romantic film, and the other one is that they marketed it like a thriller.
With
like ghosts in it. So it covered
all the angles.
They did. I think that's one of the reasons why it blew up. It had a good marketing campaign.
Also, it kind of is all of that stuff, which means it's an insane movie. It's so crazy.
I didn't know it was a thriller.
I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's only Emily who has...
I honestly have no idea what to expect, because I thought it was like a romantic movie where she's constantly making pots, making pottery with the help of her ghost husband. And they start a little business where they make ghost pots together.
They go to farmer's markets and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They sell little urns and the like.
That's not
a quiet life that she leads with her ghost
husband.
That's
the whole movie, yeah.
And then Whoopi Goldberg is like, you're in danger... There's another potter.
Yeah.
Okay. She's like, you're in danger.
Girl.
Yeah.
But you know, I will say this. I always liked Patrick Swayze.
He's so good.
Solid guy. Good vibes.
I always liked him. He could always bring like a little bit of soul to a really bad role. You know what I mean?
Dirty Dancing, we all love.
Yeah, Roadhouse, you know.
I've not seen that.
It's sort of a ballet/karate style that he had when it came to fighting.
Totally. He's kind of an everyman.
He's like 5 feet tall or something.
And no.
He's definitely very short.
They're all you know.
Yeah.
And he definitely was on some like ballet.
Trained.
You know, yeah. So when you see the fights to Roadhouse, it's kind of, he's kind of like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
pirouetting
I love
across
that.
Your face, you know.
I'm into Patrick Swayze pirouetting across my face.
Yeah, he brings a touch of class to the to like the B movie, you know what I mean?
Oh
like,
yeah,
he does. 100%. And his later work in Donnie Darko was,
he's so great in that.
Yeah,
you've seen that.
Of course. Who am I? Look at me.
A breakthrough performance.
Who am I? Do you know what that was a reference to?
I don't.
Les Miserables.
Okay. Ugh. I hated that.
Oh, it's great.
Made me Les Miserables, I tell you. You know? Mm-hmm. But yes, ghosts is so pertinent. It's our bread and butter.
Yes.
You know? The very notion of ghosts.
Exactly.
So.
Absolutely. Me and
so you guys have a natural interest in this 90s romance thriller.
Yes, from an academic perspective.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. My colleague Lillian and I, Jamie, as you know, have a podcast where we conduct paranormal investigations. And
I did know that.
Yep.
Maybe aware.
So we have an academic interest in ghosts and the depictions of ghosts in media, you know, and
are lacking.
yeah,
and so, we want to see more.
The representation for ghosts?
It's not there.
It's truly appalling.
In 2021, there should be a ghost in every single 100%. Feature and television
show. At the very least, ghosts should be playing ghosts. Like,
yes,
the ghost.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
That's no, you're right. Patrick Swayze, live actor.
It's. I mean, that passed in the 90s. That wouldn't... That,
it's ghost face.
That couldn't...
That joke naturally led us to a brief discussion of cancel culture.
Well, death is the ultimate cancel culture, as we always say over at Ghost to Show
it's
You podcast.
True. It's really true. The ultimate and final.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they come back. You know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So mm-hmm. no one is ever really canceled, which we already knew, but
right.
That's the proof.
No one's ever really canceled.
It's Ghost to Show You.
You don't have to be afraid. Canceling can be so scary sometimes, but
death
sometimes it just lasts a
life.
Day.
Cancel, there's cancel, alternate cancel. Endings.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, should we watch the movie? You need to take a little break or something?
I probably will smoke before we get into this.
Sure.
And smoke more weed.
Okay.
But I'm very high already.
Okay. When we come back. Watching ghosts.
You're getting ghosted. Prepare to cry.
Will I cry, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a lot of jump scares in this movie.
Oh, fun.
No, there's not.
Oh.
No, there's some scary shit. It's cool, too.
I honestly am very confused about what the tone is going to be of this movie. What are we looking at here?
A tube? Yeah. Some tubes.
A haunted garage sheet. Sale.
The movie opens on a dusty room filled with junk and broken furniture covered with sheets.
Sort of a work site of sorts.
Uh-huh. It's the work of production designer Jane Muskie.
It's the ghost of an unfinished basement. The payoff is going to be... Just kidding. I don't know.
It's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. I remember this intro. It's certainly long.
They really took their time.
So, look, they're breaking the thing, right? And you're like, what are they breaking into?
Is he in heaven trying to break into...
Great.
Wow. Oh, no, he's not dead yet.
We see a couple, Sam and Molly, the former shirtless, along with their friend Carl, holding sledgehammers and breaking through the ceiling of an apartment that they are presumably fixing up.
Like, you don't buy a giant, gigantic loft... in Soho and just discover another law.
Right. They're in look at the fucking muscles, the six pack on that dude.
They're like, wow, I can't believe it. This is incredible. We bought the one loft and we just bought a whole other loft.
Yeah.
That's secret.
Happens all the time. Only in New York, baby.
Meanwhile in Wall Street.
Next, we see Sam and Carl walking down the street, headed to the office.
Gross, I hate him as a yuppie. It's wrong.
He's like, I don't know how to talk to these Japanese people. I can't, you know, it just makes me nervous. That's literally what he just said.
Yikes.
He's like, I can't tell on my Swedish pom-pom girl. What the fuck is going on
I
here?
I want to hear
calm
that
down.
Joke.
They're just Japanese.
How are you feeling? What did the doctor say? He said that it was contagious. It was really...
Damn, they're playing pranks in the elevator.
They're the bad boys of
clearly.
Wall Street elevator scene.
They haven't lived through a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like we have. They don't understand. Yeah.
Morning, Susan. You are looking good. Sam.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But let's be honest, if I was Susan, I'd be like, thank you so much.
You're like, fuck yeah.
Andy Dillon called and he says he needs $900,000 transferred to Albany by 10.
By 10?
Life's hard for these Wall Street boys, you know? It's so stressful.
Yeah, it makes you think.
Next, we cut to a large angel statue dangling from a rope being hoisted through the window of Sam and Molly's new and now beautiful apartment.
Okay, that thing falls on him and kills him? I'm just waiting for him to die.
Everything falls on him and kills him.
Everything? The angel falls on his head and then he's impaled by the Indian head penny that he found. And then one of the sledgehammers he used to knock down the wall comes out of nowhere. Extra kills him.
Mm-hmm.
I see where this is going. It's predictable.
It's a Rube Goldberg of sorts.
Just a Rube Goldberg of all the things we've seen already. Just
exactly.
Leading up to him dying.
Mm-hmm. God, Demi Moore is such a... She's an angel, let me tell ya. She can pull
off that,
that haircut.
Yeah.
Sam and Carl walk in, and Carl comments on how beautiful the apartment looks and then asks to see Molly's sculpture. Then we cut to Sam and Molly talking in bed later that night.
Are you worried about the promotion?
No, not really.
Then what? Just moving in together?
No.
I just feel like I'm going to be dead for most of this movie.
Yeah.
I just don't want the bubble to burst.
It's gonna. But your bubble's gonna burst first?
It's gonna pop pretty hard there, buddy.
Whenever anything good in my life happens, I'm just afraid I'm gonna lose it.
I really love you.
Ditto.
Okay, that's not what you
I
say.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah. That'll come back. Remember that word.
How can I forget? It's a terrible thing to say to someone who says I love you.
That's their love language.
Yeah.
Fine.
You love languages.
I love love languages.
These things always happen in threes.
It's pretty morbid.
Yeah, I know. Very ominous. Foreshadowing.
And they're just showing mad like ways that he could possibly
yeah,
die.
I know. Just like heavy, heavy foreshadowing. Really beating you over the head with it. Is that how he dies? He's beaten over the head with...
Symbolism.
Exactly.
Get ready. Shit's about to get iconically sexy.
Yeah, this is it.
Well, I thought it happens when he's already dead.
Emily.
Okay.
I swear to God.
Swear to fucking God, Emily.
Respect. Put some respect on Ghost's name right now.
Yeah, respect.
Next, we see Molly up even later that night working at her pottery wheel.
How fucking paid are these people?
Yeah.
Do you like it? Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. It's only like a 10,000 square foot double loft.
Yeah. With your own...
With a
45 jukebox or whatever?
Yeah.
The Righteous Brothers really had a lock on 80s movies soundtracks.
It is very hypnotizing to see someone do pottery. That shit is hard.
It's so hard. She's a real artist.
Sam comes down to find Molly working, and things inevitably get pretty sexy at the pottery wheel.
You know, when you're a kid and you see stuff like this, like I'm like, that's what love is.
Yeah,
like. That's what my life is going to be like.
Totally.
This weird fucking
like
erotic
sensual pottery. Just erotic pottery.
Being an adult is crazy. Okay. Every suburban mom was psyched to be watching this right now.
Oh.
You don't have to see the small of a man's back being caressed like that, and I appreciate that.
Oh.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hot. Damn.
Is there something you guys wanted to ask me? Is that why we're watching this movie together?
Yeah, what's going on here?
I mean, pure true love.
What are they doing?
So, Emily...
I don't get it. What are they doing?
Heavy petting, you know, with your shirt on. It's not easy.
No.
That's acting.
And at the time, they didn't have intimacy coordinators, which now all films, most films,
right,
have.
Wow.
Because in this situation, it's just the director being like, okay, guys, so just kind of go for it here.
You could tell towards the end they were just running out of shit. They were just
I'm going to stick my head in your neck. Yeah. Like.
Next, we see Sam at the office looking perplexed. Carl walks in, and Sam tells him that something is off about some of their accounts. There is too much money in them, and he tells Carl to keep it a secret until he can figure out what's going on.
Can you keep a secret? Yeah, sure.
Hell yeah, definitely could keep a secret, and you shouldn't. That won't come back to haunt you at all.
Sam also tells Carl that he and Molly are going to see a production of Macbeth later that night, and then we cut to Sam and Molly leaving the play.
Oh no.
Yep, mean streets of Soho. Yeah. Sorry.
This is really important. I'm going to have two pieces in our gallery. The New York Times.
The New York Times is just some frustrated little critic with pimples on his ass who flunked out of art school.
So true.
Damn.
Failing New York Times.
Damn.
Yeah. Predicted
shit
it.
Shit on them.
As Sam and Molly walk down the street, we see an ominous figure step out of the shadows behind them.
Uh-oh.
He looks like a time traveler.
Yeah.
The man attempts to mug Sam, and a skirmish ensues, followed by the sound of a gunshot.
Oh, he's still alive. But is he about to get shot or hit by a car?
Or is he alive?
This
is the question that you have to ask yourself.
Final destination.
You have to start asking yourself that question a little bit, you know?
I see.
Molly?
Yeah, see, the movie starts off pretty terribly, I'll admit. It's pretty bad. But then it gets interesting.
Oh shit, it's him. Bleeding onto his nice blood red shirt already. Red.
Somebody?
Fuck, that would blow so much. That really would.
Help us.
Hey, you're not kidding.
You know? Imagine.
Come on.
Seeing your damn self. See, I have gunshot chest wound seals. If I were there, he probably
you would have. He would be alive.
He would be alive.
Now.
This movie wouldn't have even happened.
Yeah. But the dude is doing like, what's the thing where you like
CPR?
He's doing like CPR when he's got gunshot wounds. I feel like that's the wrong way to treat a gunshot wound. Am I wrong?
I mean, if it's the only tool you got, you know, you use it.
Next, we see Sam standing by and watching his own funeral.
Remember that book I showed you called Enjoy Your Own Funeral?
No. I'd love to see that.
I'll send it to you.
Hey, what's up?
She's like, you party?
Just gonna walk over here.
By party, I mean walk through gravestones?
Yeah, she could have just stepped to the side.
Yeah, she's showing off.
Now we see Molly sitting with Carl in the apartment, going through stuff to get rid of while the ghost of Sam sits nearby. Carl asks Molly to go on a walk and is very pushy even after she says she doesn't want to. But eventually she gives in.
No.
Uh-oh, he's moving in.
No, don't.
Molly?
Don't go on a walk, Molly.
You dumb bitch.
God. I just, you should stay inside all the time.
Yeah, it really doesn't look like it's that hard. I feel like you're being real dramatic about going through doors.
Actually, takes a lot of energy.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, man, just walk. You know,
I just feel like maybe walk faster?
Just go through it.
As soon as Molly and Carl walk out, the same man who shot Sam enters the apartment.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. The plot thickens.
The dude that killed him is in his house?
Yep.
Cahoots.
In cahoots with that guy?
Hey, you're gonna have to watch how the movie unfolds.
What are you doing? Okay? You son of a bitch!
Oh, wow. Good thinking.
Hello?
Scare the cat into jumping on him and clawing his face, making him run out.
It's great ring
works
prevention.
Every time.
Yeah, he just leapt through the door. It's a big deal.
Right. He was having a real hard time with those doors.
Ghost on the loose. You think that when you die, you'd never have to ride the subway again, you know?
I would hope.
You would hope that. And
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, look where you are.
Look where you are.
Trying to take
but
the A train.
You can jump.
Yeah, you can go through the turnstiles.
Yeah, I got a ticket once for jumping the turnstile.
Very cool.
It was really annoying.
Sam follows his murderer onto the train, where he is attacked by another ghost, who we'll meet again later, and then to his apartment, where we overhear the man, Willie Lopez, telling someone on the phone that he wasn't able to steal something from the other apartment because Molly came home. Then Sam takes the train again and ends up going to a psychic, Oda Mae Brown, who he hopes can help him communicate with Molly.
This seems like a quick, like, he came to this pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, I should go to, like, a fucking palm reader.
I think he just happened upon her.
Sister Oda Mae, grant us the gift of your all-seeing presence. Appear before us now.
And what's crazy is that they had already looked in that closet and shown her that it was empty, so.
Yes, I'm Oda Mae Brown. I understand you wish to contact your husband.
Thank you. Hi, Cam. I love it.
Yes.
As it turns out, Oda Mae is a bit of a con artist, and we see her lying to a woman who thinks that she's communicating with her dead husband. Sam stands by while this is happening and starts making comments, which Oda Mae hears.
How is he? How does he look? He's a handsome man.
But think about how much time he's wasting here, you know?
Handsome. Patrick Swayze?
Yeah, for no reason.
He's taken in by the theatrics.
He's got, yeah, that's right. He's got nothing but time, but I mean, this is very engaging.
I see him.
Yeah, I mean, his wife's in mortal danger, but he can take a break.
Yeah.
Obsessed with a psychic who's just like actually talented but is lazy and, and grifting people.
Yes. Very funny. Love the slapstick.
No, she's great.
Love Whoopi. Always and forever.
After initially scaring her, Sam has a conversation in which he convinces Oda Mae that he needs her help and has her call and then show up at Molly's apartment to give her a message.
Hey, you remember Starfish in Montego Bay? How would I know that if it wasn't you? Hey, Molly, I know about the green underwear that you wrote your name on.
I'd never get over that, I'll tell you that.
The anal. I know about the anal.
It just asked me to remind you of the sweater that's in the closet that you knitted is too big. Four sizes.
That's a lot of sizes.
And you didn't even talk to
She's
me
a sculptor, not, you know, she shouldn't be
knitting. Right. She's not a knitter.
Eventually, Molly lets Oda Mae come up.
I don't know you. I don't know this guy, Sam, but let me tell you what he did to me. He kept me up all night singing, I'm Henry VIII, I am.
That's how he got me to go out with him.
Okay, someone needed to kill him, it sounds like.
Just don't believe me.
He just harassed me and harassed me and harassed me.
Ditto, tell her ditto.
That was ditto. Ditto.
Sam would never say he loved
me. Which is fucked up.
Whoopi's really carrying this movie. Word,
she's the best part.
Word for word.
You would.
Oh.
You a danger girl.
Yes.
Once you go to police, he said it was a setup. He was murdered.
After telling Molly what Sam wanted her to, Oda Mae says that she doesn't want anything to do with him anymore and leaves. Then we cut to Molly telling Carl about the encounter.
She said Sam knew who killed him.
Yeah.
That he was set up.
Oh, that's weird.
Get deranged. We're going up to defense.
She had a name and an address.
Good, Molly. Good.
Willie Lopez, 303 Prospect Place, apartment 4D.
Oh. Hmm, so weird. Never heard those words and numbers put together in that order.
Yeah.
So.
Are you out of your mind? I mean, what are you going to tell the police? Are you going to tell them that some storefront psychic lady's been communing with the dead? I mean, do you have any idea what that sounds like? You're talking ghosts here, for Christ's sake.
Not ghosts.
I'm sorry.
Ghost.
The ghost.
Sort of guess to me, you know?
Do you think that he's hot?
This guy?
Yeah.
No. Disgusting preppy shit. I mean, no, he's not for me.
Okay.
You?
No. Not for me.
Maybe with a different look.
Yeah.
Carl, you son of a bitch.
You've been talking to Willie.
After their conversation, Carl shows up at Willie's house to confront him about how Oda Mae knew his name, and it is confirmed that Carl was the one who set Sam up.
I want you to find this bitch.
Oh.
She is.
Damn, everyone's in danger,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, girl. Yep.
Just get rid of it, okay? I've got $4 million stuck in a goddamn computer. If I don't get those codes...
That was a real problem back then, early 90s, because, you know, computer technology wasn't quite there yet. People were always getting money stuck in there.
So true.
$4 million.
My dad was telling me about that the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Next, we see Molly go down to the police station where, of course, they don't believe her story.
There are ghosts and spirits all over the place, watching us all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, yes.
Hell, I'm never going to get undressed again.
No one wants to see a fucking pig cop undressed.
What a fucking asshole.
Listen, don't flatter yourself, lady. The spirits aren't interested.
Okay, so she's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
So she's had lots of great looks.
There's no file for Willie Lopez. He was probably some old boyfriend she was trying to get even with.
Damn.
This psychic woman's got a record that goes back a long way.
This guy does not believe women. It's like, believe women when they tell you that their dead husband is communicating with a psychic who's telling you you're in danger.
So true.
It's not that hard.
Now we see Carl on the phone with someone giving him instructions about transferring money to an account.
Okay, wait. So what's going on? He's like, he's in with the mob or something?
Yeah, he's obviously laundering some money for some drug dealers.
Got it.
It's really a movie about greed.
Mm.
When you think about it.
Yeah. Oh. And ghost revenge.
True.
Next, we see Molly laying down in her apartment. Sam is there, trying to talk to her, when there's a knock on the door, and it's Carl, who invites himself in.
He's like, damn, am I going to have to watch some fuck?
he is like that. It's dawning on him.
Just one more cream.
Yeah. Oh, that's a euphemism, so.
Oh, shit. Jesus.
No, wow, what a move.
No, it's fine.
Oh, God, I just poured coffee all over the shirt. Yeah. Now I'm shirtless.
It's been
so weird.
Doing a lot of push-ups lately, you know. It's not a...
Right here.
It's funny.
I went to the police.
Oh.
Oh.
So funny that he's fucking shirtless right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
To go get a shirt.
Right.
What did you tell him? What did they say?
Wait, it is really hilarious. He just poured coffee on himself so he could take off his shirt, but now he's not even, like, putting moves on. He's just sitting there shirtless.
The shirtlessness is the
same,
move.
The same. I know.
If
but
she's exposed to the perfect pecs long enough, she doesn't even really have to do much. Eventually, it's just going to wear her down. Mm.
I know. It's just very funny.
Trust me, as a man with perfect pecs, it works. It really works.
Oh.
Especially with the bereaved.
Mm. Yeah.
Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was taking it off to, like, go get in his closet. I thought he needed, like,
right.
Do you know what I mean?
I think
it was purely sexual.
It's purely
I'm unsure.
Because
it's so not sexual. You know,
he's not acting sexual.
He's drinking
a cup of coffee.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just like, oh, whoops, now I'm just shirtless. I haven't changed the tone
yeah,
of my voice.
Changed.
Tell me a little bit about the police then.
Yeah. Just shirtless.
Yeah. It's fine. No, I can be shirtless. It's fine.
Wow. Okay.
So funny.
Actually, he is kind of hot.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it.
See, it worked on you, too.
It did.
Sure. I'm going to try that sometime with you. Oops.
Don't nose boink someone who's grieving.
Yeah, while you're shirtless and they're crying.
Swayze's just sitting there like, Jesus Christ, he's going to fuck her. She's going to blow him, isn't she?
After watching Carl try to put the moves on Molly, Sam goes to the subway to look for the A-Train ghost so that he can show him how to move solid objects.
Now, how is this the shirt they landed on that he's in forever?
Yeah.
Could have. Yeah, this is not his color,
maroon
I don't
is
think.
Not the shit as a ghost.
Could have been a nicer shirt. Even a white shirt. I love the thought of the subway cars being haunted.
I know.
Probably there are some haunted subway cars, right?
For sure. The things they've seen.
I did not foresee this ghost mentorship of how to move objects.
You still think you're real. I don't know how you focus. Just focus.
I hope a New Yorker like that's in charge of me when I die.
Yeah. Definitely. We should all be assigned one. Hardened New Yorker.
The subway ghost mentors Sam for a while, but then gets very touchy and flips on him, yelling at him to leave him alone.
Aw.
It's like Christmas Carol reversed. It's like you being shown what your ghost life could be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't, you know, if you don't do the right thing as a ghost.
Hmm.
It's your ghost of future ghost present.
Yeah, ghost of future ghost present.
Yeah,
ghost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense.
It's the ghost of the future ghost present past.
Simple concept.
Yeah.
Sam goes back to see Oda Mae, who is in the middle of meeting with a woman, and while he's there, her dead husband jumps into Oda Mae's body, and it is revealed that jumping into human bodies wipes ghosts out. Then Willie Lopez shows up and tries to shoot Oda Mae, but Sam warns her and she escapes. Then Sam convinces her to get one of her old fake IDs to go to the bank and help him close the account and withdraw the money that Carl is trying to embezzle.
He's committing white-collar crimes from beyond the grave.
Mm-hmm.
As Oda Mae is leaving the bank, she is spotted by Molly. Meanwhile, back at the office, Carl sees that the account has been closed and starts freaking out.
He's so good. He's pretty good, you have to admit. Like, he's hateable.
Yes.
But also kind of hot.
Yeah, it's
part I mean, Lillian thinks so, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure that he's the guy that plays the hot president on Scandal.
Versatile.
Mm-hmm.
After leaving the bank, Sam makes Oda Mae endorse the $4 million check to a bunch of nuns who they see raising money on the street.
She didn't get anything? That blows.
Yeah.
Better one.
I know. Seriously.
For all the help.
You know, 100K out of 4 mil?
Did. I know.
Nothing.
Back at the office, Carl is now alone, panicking, and being haunted by Sam.
Yeah, sick.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking haunt him. Make him scared. It's a long-ass tie, bro.
It's really long. He's really distressed. Bros' ties get longer when they're distressed.
Who's doing that?
A ghostwriter, if you
Who's
will.
Who's doing that?
Oh, yeah. Love that show.
Spooked, Carl goes to Molly and asks her about the psychic, and Molly tells him that she recently saw her at the bank using a different name.
Ferguson said she closed an account.
No.
Her name is
You dumb bitch. Why are you always telling him everything?
Hold on, let me take my shirt off and think about it. First it was like, use your heart energy to move the Sprite can. And now he's just typing emails and shit.
Yeah.
Get
money and I want it tonight at 11 o'clock.
Carl leaves Molly's apartment and goes with Willie to confront Oda Mae as Sam races over to warn her.
I never really understood why this guy was so invested.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't you just be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, right. I'm not involved in this anymore. I did the thing I was supposed to do. And more.
He's like, he's freaking out as much as Carl.
Can I trash her apartment now?
Yeah, poor Oda Mae.
I'm going through the ringer here.
Sam doesn't give a shit. Oh.
He doesn't.
Once a Wall Street bro, always a Wall Street bro.
While Oda Mae hides in a neighbor's apartment, Sam terrorizes Willie, who eventually runs into the street and is struck and killed.
This is where shit gets real.
Right.
This
now they're
the
going to be fighting in the ghost world.
No, it's not the Matrix, sweetie.
What? Okay. Oh, shit. He gets dragged to hell?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's fucked up. That's intense.
Yeah, those little shadow guys. Shit is scary.
Yeah.
I love it.
After the little shadow men drag Willie to hell, we cut to Molly's apartment where Oda Mae is trying to convince her that she's telling the truth. Finally, Sam floats the penny from the beginning of the movie to prove to Molly once and for all that he is there.
I would pass the fuck out if that happened to me. Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. Demi Moore invented the look up mouth little bit agape tears fall.
Wow.
That is her move.
Revolutionary.
Literally though. Watch for it. Everyone does it now.
Now convinced, Molly calls the cops.
So what do we do now?
Just wait.
Just wait here in your gigantic apartment.
Just wait. Don't you have like a, I don't know, like a billiards room in here or something?
Yeah. Must be nice.
Maybe we could go wait in the library.
Sam?
I'm sitting beside her.
Sitting right beside you.
Tell her I'm rubbing her nipple now.
Tell her I'm wearing the margarita that she rubbed into her shirt in the Copacabana Club on Tuesday.
With all my heart.
Okay, okay, look. You can use me.
No kinky
use
stuff.
Use your body.
Just do it quick before I change my mind.
Look, you guys can fuck using my body.
Sam enters Oda Mae's body and sensually caresses and holds Molly.
I wish that they would do a thing where, like, the music cuts out and you see what's actually happening, which is Whoopi Goldberg,
sure,
like, caressing her face.
I mean, that would be hot.
In just, like, dead silence. Yeah, it would be.
Carl shows up, banging on the door, and Sam is thrown out of Oda Mae's body.
Oh, fuck. Carl's got a gun.
Damn, Carl.
Okay. Upgrade. Carl's on so much blow right now. He's absolutely...
Yeah, out of his mind.
You're no match.
Shouldn't have been fucking dancing.
I love how they just have this second floor that they don't really use. That's just this gigantic.
Just unfinished.
Equal size loft.
It's one represents one world and the other is a moment. Crossing over.
Wow, the symbolism.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
No, I don't know. Probably not. Carl, I swear to God. Jesus!
Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? God damn it! Don't lie to me!
Yeah, it's really intense. Okay, the ghost is here to save the day.
Ghost power.
Really? Jesus.
Yeah, seriously. You really put everybody in danger.
The camera guy who had to film a ghost action scene was like, you've got to be kidding me.
I promise you, I'll let her go. Just give it to me.
Hell yeah.
Ghost gun, ghost gun.
Good aim, he said?
Yeah.
Just shooting those handles like nothing. Oh, is it a slice?
Whoa!
Oh my god! Oh my god.
Wow.
I didn't think Carl was gonna fucking be impaled by glass.
Yeah, damn. Splatter, blood splatter.
It's very intense. That's a gigantic piece of glass.
And that's not even where his pain ends.
Yeah.
Damn, Carl.
Oh man, are the shadow guys coming back for him?
Gotta be.
They ain't the fucking Smurfs. I'll tell you that, my sister.
You have no idea what little shadow demons are about to come get you. I don't remember them making those noises though last time.
They did.
Oh, maybe they did, okay. You're going to hell, Carl. Definitely very scary.
That shit freaked me out when I was younger. Somehow the effects being as cheap as they are make it scarier, too. Now that you've murdered your friend, you can go to heaven.
Yeah. Ghost 2 is just like him coming back and she's totally shacked up with another dude, like completely forgot him.
Yeah, hijinks.
He's just following her around the apartment like,
Sally Rice said ditto.
It's like, no,
like, wait, he has... his stuff is in the dresser here? He's like, I hear it now. Yeah.
Now that you do it, definitely, I kind of get what you were saying. I'll probably change my shirt eventually when I get to heaven.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Mom's gonna have to be committed after this. This is too much.
Yeah.
For one person to go through. Yeah. Lock her up, I say.
What if it's just the monsters waiting in the line?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
They're like, tricked you. Well, there you have it. Ghost to show you.
Some weed is Patrick Swayze, Bella Johnson, a Demi Moore, Cobb Runner, Velvet Advance, Susan Rose, Rose Willie Lopez.
Oh, it sounded like biblical, like a, you know, like a church hymn.
It's very like, it's almost like a, it's like the score to E.T. almost. Mm. You know, you do bring up a decent point though, that it feels like the thing that hit the editing floor was him just doing mad blow.
Yeah, for sure.
That dude. You know what I mean? Like, they had mad scenes of it. And they were just like, we gotta get a PG-13 here.
Yeah.
We gotta cut it. Gotta
we
cut
can't show it. All the blow, but he'll be sweating and shaking the whole
really
time.
Really pissed.
Right.
Like,
irritable, erratic.
The audience will get it.
They'll put one and one together, you know?
Maybe we could slip in like I have to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back. So at the end of the day, I fought for those blow references, but
yeah.
We just needed to save time, and Whoopi Goldberg, really, she really outshined everybody in that movie.
I think so.
Everyone else, you know, was functional.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they were all good.
What could they work with? They're working with a weird ghost script.
The script was, you know.
I don't know if they,
chew on there.
It was just a lot of, like, Patrick Swayze kind of, like, making this, like, alarmed face and then just sitting there.
Yeah.
And being like, and then like some weird body movements.
Sure.
Like,
but also like, is it me or does Patrick Swayze kind of seem like in this movie, seem like no matter what he's dressed in, it's just wrong. Like,
totally.
No matter what,
it's all a little tight.
What outfit, it just looks like a costume on him. Like for some reason, even his hair kind of looks like a costume.
Transition years, 1990, they're like, who are you? What's going on? Everyone looked awkward.
Interesting.
Yeah, but him especially.
He came into his own, I think, by the time he got to Point Break.
Oh, yeah. Full.
Which, you know, I haven't seen that movie either.
That's just a straight-up good action movie.
Yeah, I would like to see
that. That is one of the most bonkers movies I've ever seen in my life. And I think you would enjoy it.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're like undercover cops who are surfing, right?
Sort of. He's an undercover cop surfing, yeah.
You have, right?
He is, yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's not like a whole group of them.
Oh, okay.
It's a whole squad.
He's infiltrating, he's trying to catch bank robbers that are, that they're surfers, yes.
Okay.
They're also trying to still make Lori Petty like a leading woman, which I find
love
very
Lori
interesting.
Petty.
No,
that was one of her
great.
Early ones, actually.
She's
that was one of her first ones. She was great in that.
Great, but it's just, she's a very unlikely, you know, she's
I
not
think
like
she
hot.
Could have been.
She's beautiful.
She was hot in that movie.
She's not your typical like babe nowadays that you would see as that in that role.
No, but there's plenty of like leading ladies that, you know, are on par with Lori Petty, I think, looks wise. I don't
she
know.
Had a great ass.
Sally Field, like
Sally
Field?
Sally.
What the fuck are we even
I don't
talking
know, that was
about?
The first
Lori
name
Petty
that
from and Sally
a,
Field?
Guys, I think Lori Petty's gorgeous, hot. I love her. She's great. I'm just saying it's an interesting choice.
Yo, can you scratch my I'm sorry, can you scratch my okay.
There we go. Ooh. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
Who's that lady who's in Groundhog Day?
Ugh, mm-hmm. Andie MacDowell.
Andie MacDowell
fucking
is like...
hate her so much.
Less hot than Lori
Andie
Petty.
MacDowell.
I don't have enough time to talk about how much I hate Andie MacDowell.
Andie
just,
MacDowell.
She's a boring, mealy-mouthed
She's wonderful.
Nobody.
She's adorable.
She's a blank-faced, pasty. No, she's horrible. Wonderful.
That speaks to my point that Lori Petty is more of a likely leading lady than, or just as much as Andy McDowell.
What the fuck? I think Andy McDowell at her peak was stunning and charming.
Well, anyway, the movie that we just watched,
yes,
none of those actresses are in, frankly.
That's true. I'm a misogynist, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know.
Clearly. Yeah, okay.
And now everybody knows.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, I liked it. It's like kind of silly, but it's fun.
Yeah, you know, when it definitely is. It's faded.
Yeah.
In quality.
Well, like, the couple, I mean, Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, their characters don't have personalities that are real.
Right.
At all. Whoopi Goldberg seems real and is fun and is funny, and, like, that whole thing is very
good.
And the villain is pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But they kind of managed to catch a vibe between them. You know what I mean? Like, by the time you're done, you're
If I knew them, I'd be like, oh, what's this basic-ass couple?
Yeah, they're
definitely basic as fuck. But that's cool, you know? I mean, hey, it was the 80s. You might buy a loft and stumble into a second loft.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You never knew.
It's happening,
you know,
I
just
constantly.
Leave it empty because it's just better in the shadows.
Gotta keep a shadow
too
loft,
too much loft
I say.
To even know, even know what to do with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like a second loft that also is about probably has like 25 foot ceilings, I think.
Yeah.
Because they have like two levels of the second loft.
Like,
go up into the barn, the hayloft. It's like it's on Prince Street between Mercer and Green. Like, they already said it. Like, I heard what they said. Yeah. It's on Prince between Mercer and Green. There's not a hayloft in the duplex of your loft. Which is probably on like the fifth floor.
Yep.
That's just the real estate guy in me, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean the ghost part was believable. The loft part was absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if you are a ghost, you should go to a subway car that is haunted and
learn the ropes
from that guy who's in there who's angry.
But I do think that Tony Goldwyn is a great villain. I think that he is, like, actually, he killed that shit.
Yep.
Just in terms of making you fucking hate him, and also just being so, like, desperately trying to just keep his, like, act together. Mm-hmm. And cracking underneath.
And I think a lot of times the villain character comes off as a little too smooth and confident, and I appreciate that he's clearly, like you said, you know, trying to hold it together, kind of insecure, kind of like his facade is fully cracking, like, the whole time. He, you know, he's playing all of that. He's, like, genuinely unlikable and
he does the thing really well where he hears something that he doesn't want to betray that it's affecting him, but he's trying really good, but he's
right. You went to the police as he's sitting shirtless drinking his coffee.
Molly, just casual here, but what do they say?
Yeah.
You know, about what exactly?
That's heaving pecs.
Yeah. Effective.
Absolutely effective. That's why she was blinded by the pecs. That's why she didn't see what was right in front of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another
I will
lesson.
Say that his mastery of the ghost force happened a little quick.
It did.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It happened a little quick.
Yep.
And it seemed like that ghost,
he was like
that mentally ill ghost.
We need more montage.
Yeah,
training.
Yeah, right, right.
Like a longer, really involved.
Eye of the tiger of him just like trying to make a can.
It's a full week of like.
Right. But it seemed like that ghost was like, oh, okay, you stubborn asshole, I'll show you the ropes, and like, good for you. And then immediately switches back to being like.
He was nuts.
Well, he's crazy. He's a crazy ghost.
Well, I know. But he got it together just enough to help him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think that's lucky that it happened that way in real life.
Mm-hmm. It does happen that way.
Yep.
I did like all those scenes. I liked all the subway scenes.
Mm-hmm. No, I liked them too.
I'm a sucker for a subway scene. But also the whole thing, like, when I think about them and how, like, when they were walking down the streets of Soho, Prince Street, which, granted, in 1980... would have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1990, when the shit was shot, was not bad.
Yeah. Well, but
they're walking down the street and, like, do you, like, it, I never noticed how, like, the second that they see the dude, like, walking
on the same block,
they're like, okay, what do we do? What do we, and it was like, all you know is that there's a Spanish dude on the block.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you were right. Your instincts were right. He did kill you. But
he did look super sketchy.
He did, but it was... They were very nervous.
It escalated in their minds.
Nobody else in the street at all for a good few minutes.
But that's the problem with gentrification. You know, it's like, you know, you come into town, maybe you buy a loft or a duplex loft cheaply, you know, and
you're calling noise complaints.
And you're walking down the street at, like, you know, in the middle of the night, and you go from having absolutely no concern about your surroundings to being completely petrified in 1 second.
Yeah,
it should be an in-between thing. You know, a real New Yorker, someone who's been there for a while, like, you know, you're always a little scared and always a little relaxed. That's the way it's supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, I think that's
accurate.
It
can't be like one or the other. It can't be like, I have no cares in the world. Oh, fuck, okay, what do we do?
Right.
It's too much
some
relief.
Some of the fear should have been there the whole time.
Yeah, like a little street, you know,
they're
fucking
talking about
smarts.
Art, you know
street
what I mean?
Smarts, yeah,
wait
I know.
Until you get home to talk about art. You know, close your door.
Yeah, absolutely. Lock the windows before you talk about art.
They're wandering down that shit like it's the fucking, like it's like just like a canal, you know, like
right.
In Italy. Like they're, you know, it's the Riviera and they're holding hands and
Soho
just talking
is
about,
very
you know.
Romantic at night.
Huh?
Soho is very romantic at night to walk around.
Not in the time when it was a fucking empty industrial
place
that was dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Emily loved it even then.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I remember those years.
Yeah.
So.
There are movies that depicted Soho as being empty and weird and fucked up, like After Hours, which is a brilliant film. But that was from the 80s.
Right.
So that actually
was kind of not real. Consistent
right.
with the time. All right. Well, do we feel good about how this all went? I think we do.
Yeah, I mean, we smoked some weed, you know. I watched Prime Whoopi Goldberg, I think.
She absolutely.
She really killed it.
She's great.
Has some great looks. Yeah.
Definitely some great looks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that she didn't do more acting.
Mm-hmm. She did a bunch for a while.
We did a bunch for a while.
Sister Act, Eddie, this
never
movie.
Never saw Sister Act. Never
They're
saw
great.
Eddie.
This is like her role. She's like kind of like hot. Though,
yeah, I was
right?
going to say, she's kind of hot. She's kind of young and hot. Oh, she was in The Color Purple, famously.
No, I know.
So.
I know.
She's on The View. She gets a paycheck for yelling at Meghan McCain now.
I know that.
All right. I think we can end this podcast.
I think we can just take it out back and
put
it down.
Well, thanks for being here, Lil.
Yeah, you know, I did my best. It was a pleasure viewing this movie with you. This film, I'm sorry.
And also with you.
Mm-hmm. And with the...
Okay.
The Holy Spirit.
Under the iron thumb of my wife, the podcast producer.
Sweetie.
She'll tell you when to start, she'll tell you when to stop.
Because she's good at it.
Oh, you're gonna gang up on me now?
I'm not ganging.
Oh, she's good at it now.
She is. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we gotta toss one to you, toss one to Emily. We gotta, you know what I mean? We're tossing treats.
Lillian's being diplomatic.
That's ridiculous. Don't stop trying to manipulate us.
But I am.
Don't you understand? I know, sweetie, but don't you understand? Lillian's trying to tear us apart, and that's been the whole.
Lillian's the problem here.
God, I see it now.
Yeah. She's a real Tony Goldwyn.
Yes. Looks like she's a real she Goldwyn. Bumped into a genuine she Goldwyn.
Lady Tony Goldwyn. Classic. Oh.
Ghost to Show You is created by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. The Panducto Quarrencast is created by me and Jamie Moline. All editing and sound design for both shows is by me. All the theme music is by Jamie. Thanks for listening to this very special episode. Rate, review, and subscribe if you liked it, and we'll see you next time.